Please join me in prayer. God, our guide and protector, as we gather today, open our minds and souls and hearts to hear the gentle direction of your Spirit. Help us to follow as you lead to the land you have created, where we may dwell with you and in you. Amen. Our Summer of Psalms continues today with a new category. Just as a reminder, most scholars break the Psalms into four or five different categories: royal psalms, laments, wisdom, creation, and today we look at psalms of thanksgiving. Now, thanksgiving is actually different than praise. Psalms of praise are more generic, extolling God's greatness. In fact, one of those is inscribed in the stonework above the front doors of our sanctuary. Enter the gates with thanksgiving and come into the courts with praise. Give thanks to the Lord. Bless God's name. For the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. And God's faithfulness to all generations. That's a psalm of praise. A psalm of thanksgiving is different in that it recalls specific instances of God's deliverance and offers thanks for those. And similar to the laments we talked about last week, a psalm of thanksgiving always follows a particular pattern. The psalmist begins with a call to thanksgiving, then recalls the crisis, asks for God's help, recounts God's deliverance, and then expresses gratitude for the rescue. Now, psalms of thanksgiving can be individual, that is, the psalmist remembering how God has saved him or her in some specific way. They can also be communal, God's people giving thanks together for God's actions on their behalf. Psalm 107 is a perfect example of a communal song of thanksgiving. After an initial call to thanksgiving, the psalm lays out four different scenarios of God's deliverance. Again, I've included the entire psalm in the bulletin and annotated it so you can see how this pattern repeats itself. This is another long psalm, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I hope this will give you a sense of the flow. It begins with the call to thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks to the Lord who is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And here the first scenario starts by naming the crisis. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to an inhabited town. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then comes the prayer for help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and God delivered them from their distress. Then here's the deliverance. God led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. And then again, a call for thanksgiving. Let them thank the Lord for God's steadfast love, for God's wonderful works to humankind. For the Lord satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Then that pattern repeats itself in three more scenarios: prisoners crying for freedom, those who are sick and in need of healing, and finally, those who go down to the sea in ships doing business on the mighty waters. The psalm finishes with reminders of God's actions on behalf of the people and concludes with a wisdom saying, let those who are wise give heed to these things and consider the steadfast love of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This summer sermon series is a bit out of the ordinary for me, and I guess by extension, maybe it is for you too. Over all the years I've been in ministry, I've never preached much on the Psalms. Not that I don't like them, but they've always seemed like sort of a side dish, the gravy to the meat and potatoes of the Gospels or the Old Testament narratives. That all changed for me this spring when my study group of local pastors began to meet with Peggy Cowan to explore the Psalms. Now, it wouldn't surprise me to hear that you all get weary of me mining the roots of words or the structure of sentences in the original languages, but I am always amazed by the intentionality of the biblical writers. Nothing on the pages of Scripture is there by accident. It's never just, "Dear Diary, today I watched Jesus feed 5,000 people," or, "Dear Diary, God loves me." There is so much nuance in the way the Scriptures are written that it's just fascinating. And I've discovered that the same goes for the Psalms. And so this week, as I was looking at Psalms of Thanksgiving, it occurred to me that what the psalmist wants us to do, in this case, four times over, is to remember and to rehearse the stories of God's faithfulness, to fill our minds with that. It's an ancient practice that I think can make a huge difference in our lives today. I'm sure you've heard me say this before, if you didn't know it already, but science has shown conclusively that left to ourselves, our brains always tend to the negative. It's a defense mechanism that's hardwired into us. What if the bear jumps out of the woods? What if the garden hose is actually a snake? We're always scanning our environment for threats. And to reinforce that, we ruminate on it. Literally, our minds chew on those negative possibilities over and over. We remember past conversations, and we think about what we're going to say when we see that person next. We rehearse grievances. We steel ourselves for the worst. We're always on alert for what might go wrong or what has gone wrong. One psychologist puts it this way: our brains are Velcro for the bad and Teflon for the good. Bad news, negative comments, criticisms, they stick immediately. We are Velcro for the bad. But when we hear something positive or affirming, it slides right off. We are Teflon for the good. But if we are healthy people, we want to bend that arc of negativity to a place that's more hopeful and fulfilling. And that's where I think the Psalms of Thanksgiving can help. Because the Psalms are an antidote to negative thinking. Psalm 107 in particular invites us to remember the good instead of the bad. Four scenarios: wandering in the wilderness, crying for freedom, sick and in need of healing, in danger on the seas. All of those are occasions to remember God's faithfulness in the past in order to trust God's hope for the future. In the Old Testament, the word meditate shows up again and again. And we've been trained to think of meditating as emptying our minds, letting everything go, but that's not at all what the Bible means. To meditate in Hebrew is not to empty our minds. Instead, the word to meditate is the same word that means to hum. And so when we meditate, we hum the melody of God's faithfulness in ways that we can remember and call up when needed. I suspect that means we're going to have to let go of some of those other things that we're ruminating on. Clara Barton, the founder of the Red Cross, was once reminded of a cruel deed someone had done to her years earlier. She acted as if she'd never heard of the incident. "Don't you remember it?" her friend asked. No, Clara said. I distinctly remember forgetting it. That's what the Psalms can do. As they remind us of God's faithfulness, they allow us to let go of the past and fill our minds with God's possibilities for the future, humming the melody of God's faithfulness. I'm certain you know this story because I included it in a newsletter last fall, but it bears repeating. In 1988, the Los Angeles Dodgers won the World Series, led by MVP pitcher Oral Hershiser. During the regular season, Hershiser had pitched 6 straight shutouts in 63 consecutive scoreless innings. He was the toast of the baseball world. And as soon as the series was over, Johnny Carson invited him to be his guest on The Tonight Show. And in the interview, Carson asked how Hershiser seemed to stay so calm and focused in those incredibly tense moments on the pitcher's mound. And the answer stunned Carson. I sing a hymn, Hershiser said. I'm a Presbyterian, so I sing a hymn to myself out there that we sing every Sunday in church. Now, if you can believe it, Johnny Carson was momentarily speechless. But when he recovered, he asked if Hershiser would sing it, right then, right there on national TV. And he did. You know what he sang? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. What's on your mind? As the writer Marva Dawn puts it, we need the biggest dose of God we can get. So all praise to the one who delivers us from danger. All praise to the one who keeps us humming. All praise to the one who welcomes us home. Amen.